Well, we are so thankful that you are here on this Father's Day. As we celebrated fathers last night at our Saturday evening service, we had a great time celebrating them. And I'm telling you what, it's a really neat time on Saturday nights. It really is. You wouldn't believe that there's probably almost the same amount of people here on Saturday evening as on a Sunday morning, as we are kind of doing our two service trial, so to speak. We're giving it a shot for a time, just obviously trying to take out chairs in the sanctuary and creating some space for us during this time. But it's been a good time together to meet. And so today we're here celebrating fathers, of course. And so we're here together. And as dads, we have a special gift for you after the service. We've got pop and popcorn back there. So we just want to celebrate you and give thanks for you fathers in here today. Mothers, we weren't able to celebrate you because of the quarantine and all that stuff, so we do have a special gift for you. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have anything for you moms. I'm sorry. Sorry, that was just a cruel joke. But dads, we do have something for you. Moms, I'm so sorry that we weren't able to celebrate you in person. We celebrated you online, of course. And so thank you for being here and celebrating the Lord. And today we want to really talk about fathers. Maybe fathers are here today. Maybe you're with your father. Maybe you're going to see your father. Maybe you'll, as Darren said, write a note or somehow connect with your dads this day or throughout the week. But I want to talk about some of the things that we talk about in a perfect father. And I want everybody to sit down if you are not a perfect father. Yeah, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But we have a perfect heavenly father. And so I want to talk about sometimes the earthly fathers sometimes make a lot of mistakes. I know I do. I know I make a ton of mistakes. My kids aren't here with me this morning. They were here last night at the Saturday night service, so I can really talk about them, and they won't even know. I'm not a perfect father, but I could sit and lie to you and say, I am a perfect father. I'm the greatest dad in the world. My kids love me to death, and I've never made mistakes. And you would never know, because my kids aren't here this morning. But I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But God, our Heavenly Father, is perfect. But there's something called father wounds. Have you ever heard that before, a father wound? Jessica, you've heard that before because Jessica's a therapist, a counselor. Some of others who are in that field have heard of what a father wound is. A father wound. I kind of did a little research about that just to share with you. I want to share with you a few father wounds. And so by way of just recognizing the fact that there can be a danger in wounding our children, not necessarily just physically but emotionally. And so I've kind of boiled it down to five father wounds. The first father wound is the superachiever father. The superachiever father. You may be one of these fathers, or you may have had one of these fathers. A superachiever father is one who is basically nothing is ever good enough. You know, you have to continue to be everything, whether it's sports, whether it's working, whether you're doing homework, whatever it is. The superachiever father pushes you as a child to limits that you go, wow, I can't possibly please my dad. So maybe your dad in here that's like that, be careful, because that could be a father wound. Maybe your father has been like that to you, and there's those wounds deep inside. Well, there's another one that's called the time bomb father. The time bomb father. That is just what that is that the father has a short fuse, like a ticking time bomb, ready to get set off anytime. And so a time bomb father wound is that which, you know, hey, you look at your dad the wrong way and he'll blow up at you and yell at you and scream at you. See, that's another father wound that is out there. The passive father is another father wound. That's that father that just is just kind of not there, just kind of passive. Oh, I don't care what you do. Oh, hey dad, look what I just did. Oh, yeah, okay. So, and you move on. The passive father can be a wound. You can be wounded emotionally by the passive father. And then the absent father, another father wound that this is one that, whether it's physically absent or emotionally absent, that's a wound that we can have as children. The absent father, just not there, not available, not able, not ready to be a dad. And so maybe you are one of those fathers in here today, or maybe you have had a father like that. And then the compassionate father, the mentor father, so to speak. That's the father that is overly compassionate, that is overly over the top to other things, and it's a matter of you don't fit in the realm of parenting because they're so compassionate toward other things that there could be a wound. And so I want to just. Those are just a quick snapshot. So if you're struggling in that area, I'd encourage you to do a little research or study. I'd love to talk to you about that. But I wanted to give you a snapshot of some wounds that could truly, truly affect our lives as children from our Father. But today I want to focus in on some good attributes. I want to focus in on some positive attributes of a perfect Father because it's so important to look at the perfect Father. And that perfect Father is our Heavenly Father. And so my hope is, as a dad, is that I've always wanted to be a perfect dad, and I never, ever, ever could measure up. But at least I have a measuring device in God's Word and understanding who the perfect Heavenly Father is. And so I want to focus this morning five roles on the perfect Heavenly Father. And I want to give you a snapshot of some passages of Scripture that go along with that to show us and to give us that example. So dads, listen up. Everybody else, listen up, because these are some fantastic roles, if you will, about our Heavenly Father. So number one, He's my provider. God the Father, He's our provider. You see, the man has been given the responsibility to provide for his family. He's the head of the family. Therefore, the buck stops there with the headship of the family. In fact, if you look throughout throughout Scripture, the very first passages in Genesis is that it's part of our curse as men is to plow the fields, is to work, and therefore providing for our family. And so God, as the perfect Heavenly Father, is our provider. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Jesus said, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" What a great promise of provision from our Heavenly Father. What a great promise. You see, generally speaking, most parents wouldn't think of depriving their children of the basic necessities of life, but you would be surprised. You'd be surprised. See, earthly dads, we mess up all the time. We're sinners. We make mistakes. But how much more can God give us exactly what we need? And so God is our provider. You see, a lot of times we like to, again, this is the part where we like to take our own, we like to do things on our own. I want to provide for myself. Especially as men, we want to say, you know what, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to provide for my family. I'm not going to trust in on God because I'm not sure if I trust God enough. I'm going to provide and be the provider of my own family, my own life. But we've got to allow God to be our provider. So number two, He's our disciplinarian. This word discipline is a tricky, tricky word. Perhaps when we talk about fathers and discipline, you cringe a little bit. Maybe you grew up with an abusive father. Maybe you grew up in a situation where it wasn't discipline, but it was abuse. You see, there's a difference there, but God is our disciplinarian. God the Father is our disciplinarian. You see, the perfect Father disciplines. A great passage of Scripture on this is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 through 11. "For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we may share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." That's the writer of Hebrews putting discipline into a godly holiness and kind of mirroring or saying if when we're disciplined by God, it will bring about holiness. You see, God uses various things. not only to punish wrongdoing, but to prevent wrongdoing and to educate his children in the way that he or she should walk. You see, we need to realize that when God disciplines us, he allows things to come against us at times in order for us to grow spiritually. That is a part of discipline. John MacArthur explains the meaning of this word discipline. The word is broad, but it signifies whatever parents and teachers do to train, correct, cultivate, and educate children in order to help them develop and mature as they ought. Now, I like that. I like that. Let me read that again. The word, this broad term discipline, signifies whatever parents and teachers do to train, correct, cultivate, and educate children in order to help them develop and mature as they ought to. I love this word. I love this word cultivate. Cultivate is a part of discipline. Cultivating is that part where we see that, especially this time of year, we cultivate the soil to grow a plant. We cultivate the soil to grow a garden. We cultivate the soil to make things grow better. And so what a beautiful word picture of discipline. Now, some people are parenting differently, and this isn't a parenting sermon. This isn't one of those things where I'm going to tell you how to be a good parent or a bad parent. But I know that throughout Scripture, discipline is a part of parenting. Discipline is a part of our Heavenly Father and us being his child. Cultivation, I love that. We're to bring up our children, not just grow them with a bunch of weeds and everything else in between. You see, we're to cultivate our children by picking the weeds out. We're to grow our children by getting rid of the stuff, cultivating the soil. I hope that sinks in this morning. Think about it. That discipline is so necessary. We preached a sermon, I don't know whether it was a year ago, about pruning, about how God prunes us. And sometimes that pruning process hurts. Sometimes that pruning process is a difficult process. Taking away things in your life that you know that is causing your lack of growth. So if you've been a Christian here any time, I mean, I'm talking about a relationship with God, not just a churchgoer. If you have a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ, you know what true discipline is from the Father. You know what true discipline is from the Father. I know throughout my life, God has disciplined me. And whether I have made a mistake or been in a certain sin or whatever it is, I know that I know that I know. God comes in and he disciplines me in one way, shape, or the other. And I don't like it at times. But then looking back in my life, I'm thinking, God, thank you for that discipline. Thank you for moving me from that point to this point so that I can grow through this. I could take a lot of time with this, but I need to move on. You see, God can use the most painful situations in your life and bring about discipline in order for you to grow. So think of that cultivation in your life. Number three, the perfect Heavenly Father is our security. He is our security. He is the one that protects us. And I remember as a little kid, when I was a boy, I remember I had my neighbor friend over, and I literally remember sitting in my bedroom, and I was sitting with my friend. We were probably 7 years old or so, and I remember saying that, you know what, we went back and forth. My dad's stronger than your dad. My dad's muscles are way bigger than your dad's muscles. My dad's lawnmower is way powerful than your dad's lawnmower. And we went back and forth and back and forth. I mean, I think we went from my dad's haircut is cooler than your dad's haircut. I don't even know, but you know why we were doing that? Do you know why we were going back and forth? It's because my dad was a hero to me. As a 7-year-old little boy, all I could look to was my father, and I knew that he was so perfect because he was my provider. He was my security. He was my protector. I thought he was like Superman. Because he was my security as a kid. And so God the Father is our protector, the one who gives us that security and strength. The NIV, in the NIV version of the Bible, in the Psalms, there's 16 times just in the Psalms, the book of Psalms, the 16 times where God is found as a protector or a mighty fortress. We've sung the old hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. a bulwark never failing. You see, our God is our protector. He's our shield. He is our rock. God offers physical protection for us, but he also offers spiritual protection. When we understand that the forces of the devil, the demons that are flying their fiery arrows and their fiery darts at us, God is our protection. In Jude 24, at the end of this letter, Jude writes this, "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." That's talking about God. He is there for you. He is able to keep you from falling. He is your protection. Number four, he's personal. Let that one sink in. God the Father, the perfect Father, is personal. Let it sink in this morning. Think about it. The creator of the universe, the creator of all mankind, the creator of all things is personal. He wants to know you. He knows exactly who you are. Matthew chapter 10, it says, "Even the very hairs of your head are numbered." You see, you are known by God the Father, the perfect Heavenly Father. Israel had a problem with idolatry. You see, the nation of Israel was constantly trying to build idols, whether out of wood or gold, whatever it may be. They were continually trying to bring God down into a form so that they can worship this idol. But the fact is that God wants to worship. God wants to be here so that we can worship him personally. See, we're called the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so God the Father is so personal. He wants a relationship with you. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it gives light to the fact that God knows us and his plans for us even before we were conceived. It's a beautiful thing. God the Father is personal. Number five, he's always there. We talked earlier about the absent father wound. The absent father wound, the one that is that our fathers, maybe our earthly fathers, were just not available, not here emotionally, not here physically. But the Heavenly Father, the perfect Heavenly Father, is always there. He's not just personal, he is accessible. It's so amazing to think about how God is there for us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, "Never will I leave you, or never will I forsake you." You see, it's beautiful to know that God is always there. Now, you may be thinking about maybe these five, and again, this was a short list of the perfection of our Heavenly Father. But for some here, you may be thinking, well, I'm struggling because I don't understand God this way. Maybe you're struggling in your relationship with the Heavenly Father, and you really have never understood God in these five different ways. I want to invite the band to come on up as we kind of take some time and as we think about the Heavenly Father and the attributes that he provides for us. You know, maybe you're here as a father, you're struggling like I have many, many times. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good father to my children. We have a perfect example in our Heavenly Father who loves us, who is our security. He's our disciplinarian. He's our provider. And so maybe you're in here today, you're just kind of, boy, I'm struggling with a lot of this stuff with my Heavenly Father. I want you to take this moment. I want you to take this time. Take some prayer time today. Maybe you've stepped out of that umbrella of care and you simply said, I'm going to provide for myself. I'm going to provide for my security. I don't need you, God. I don't need this right now. Maybe you stepped out from that umbrella of care. Say, I don't accept your discipline, God. I don't accept that. I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to formulate my own opinions. So I encourage you this morning as we sing this last song as we kind of conclude our time, I want you to do business with the Heavenly Father. And say, God, where is it that I need to be stretched? Where is it that I need to work on my relationship with you? He's always there. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Let's stand together. Lord, in here today, we need a touch from the perfect Father. We need an encounter with the perfect Father. We need an education. We need to be cultivated. We need to be trained by the perfect Father. And Lord, today, we ask of your presence to be felt within our hearts and lives this morning. Lord, for those who are struggling in this place today, maybe they're struggling with thoughts and hurt feelings from their earthly fathers. Maybe they're struggling from an abusive situation or a absentee situation or another father wound that we discussed a little bit. And God, I pray for them in a special way today. I pray, God, that you would comfort them, that you would bring your Holy Spirit into their lives to allow them to be forgiven and to forgive and to heal and to begin that healing process of that wound. I pray, God, that, oh God, that you would just draw near to them in a special way. And for all of us, God, that we would understand you as the Heavenly Father in such a deep way that we would know you intimately, that we would allow you to be our provider, our strength, our security, our disciplinarian, and allow you to be having a presence in our lives each and every day. So Lord, today we're so grateful. And for a loving Father to send Jesus Christ, the one and only, your one Son, to die for us, we give you thanks. What a love that you have provided for us. We worship you today. We worship you.